Our scripture today is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning in 27 and reading through 36. This is familiar territory, I think, though Luke's version is a little different, and we'll talk about that. But as we listen to it, listen in it for what God might say to us today. From the Gospel of Luke, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." A couple more verses here. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we seek to turn our focus to Christ, may we see a better measure. And in the power of your Spirit, may we find the strength to follow these difficult words as we follow Jesus. In Him we pray. Amen. So, if any of this sounds a little bit familiar, this is Luke's version of what in Matthew is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' big sermon early in His ministry. In Luke, it happens not on the mount, but on the plain. In fact, it begins by saying Jesus went to a level place. And Luke's version of the sermon is shorter. It's a little edgier. Most of people's favorite stuff, the Beatitudes and salt and light and the wise and foolish builder, that's all in Matthew's version. Luke's version is a little different. And in looking at a commentary this week, there was a commentator, and you know, Bible commentaries aren't generally known as funny people. I mean, it's not really their job to try and be funny. But there was one who made what I thought was a humorous suggestion. He suggested that maybe Jesus went on the plain because shortly before this, He had preached in Nazareth. He had said some hard things. He made people mad, and they tried to throw Him off a cliff. And maybe Jesus felt safer on the flat ground. I doubt it. Though Jesus did just before this passage say some hard things, and in our passage, He doesn't let up. In fact, there's an interesting word thing in the Greek. In verse 27, it says something like, "to those who are listening" or "to those who will hear." And in Greek, the tense of that verb is ongoing. So it says something like, "to those who are listening." And it's stretching it a little. But it's not far from "to anyone still listening." As if Jesus is saying, look, if I haven't lost you yet, buckle up. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get worse. Virtually any Christian knows that Jesus said, love your enemies. What you may not know is that He doesn't say it anywhere more clearly than our passage. 4 times in 2 verses. And then four examples to follow. And then what we call the golden rule, which didn't originate with Jesus, but Jesus quotes it and redefines it by painting a life that is defined by how we respond to people and not by what happens to us. Jesus sets a high bar. And in what I think is the most challenging part of the passage, he says this, look, if you love people who love you, if you do good to the people you love who are good people and deserve it, if you give to people that are worthy and trustworthy and you gain from it, what good is that? What credit is that to you? Anyone can do that. In fact, everyone does do that. Jesus says, yeah, even the sinners do that. The Gentiles do that. The hypocrites do. Everybody does that. That's easy. I'm calling you to something different. I'm calling you to a higher and harder standard. And then Jesus outlines it. Love, do good, be generous, be merciful, do not judge, do not condemn, forgive and give. And if you want a better summary of Christian life, it's hard to find. Love, do good, be generous, be merciful, do not judge, do not condemn, forgive and give. That's what it is to follow Jesus. And that is not easy. I keep a folder, a preaching folder in my office, several of them, but one of them, I keep stories of people who I think have done that and done it in ridiculously hard circumstances. They're the kind of stories that humble me because you read those stories and you think, if I was on the receiving end of that, if that happened to me, if someone did that to me, is there any chance I could respond the way these people have? There's a story of a family in Nebraska who were being hounded by the KKK. This is decades ago. But the chief man who did it ended up being sick. And this family who had been targeted by this man, threatened with death, took him in and cared for him while he was sick. There's a story of a minister who was blinded when a kid threw a brick off an overpass as he drove by. He went and met with that young man, prayed with him, forgave him, wrote a book about his experience, and now tours telling that story and begging people for forgiveness of those who hurt them. There's the story of Pope John Paul who visited, prayed with, and forgave the man who shot and tried to kill him. There's a story of a woman whose son was killed in a drive-by shooting, her infant son. And she became an advocate for the shooter. She visited him in prison after a voice told her she had to learn to forgive. And she, in her words, adopted him. And now considers him her son, visiting him regularly. There's a story of a girl who was raised in the community of the Westboro Baptist Church. You may know them. They're known for the vile, kind of hateful things that they say about people. She left that church when some of her vile posts online were met not with hatred that she displayed, but with kindness and sympathy. None of these stories are easy. Many of them are not happy. But they all testify to Jesus' point. A hateful response never made anyone better. Never changed a life for good. Violence and revenge and retribution just add to the cycle without changing anything. And people trying to follow Jesus have been given a different path, called to go a different way. Jesus says, be the one that breaks the cycle. Be the one that doesn't hit back, that doesn't trade insult for insult or anger for anger. Anyone can do that. And almost everyone does. But not you, Jesus says. That's not my way. In fact, it's interesting, shouldn't be missed. Jesus doesn't include any provisions for people who do that stuff. Jesus isn't talking to them. Jesus exclusively addresses those it happens to, with no mention of those who initiate it. He doesn't tell anyone to stop doing those things. He talks about what happens when it's done to you. And the fundamental assumption is that Jesus assumes that those behaviors are outside the lines for church people. Jesus doesn't have to say stop doing it because you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. The church understands that, and Jesus assumes it doesn't fit, which, if not always accurate, is very convicting. Honestly, I think these are some of the most difficult things that Jesus has to say to us. I mean, it's easy to understand. It's just hard to hear. It is so against our grain. It demands so much from us. In fact, even the Bible struggles with this. Out of curiosity, I went to the book of Psalms. You know, the book of Psalms is people's favorite. Now I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and all that wonderful stuff. My heart pants as a deer by the water. You know, Psalms are great. Let me read you some Psalms. Psalm 3:7. Strike my enemies on the jaw, O Lord, and break their teeth. Psalm 18. I chased my enemies down and did not turn back until they were destroyed. I crushed them under my feet. You made my enemies flee, and I destroyed them. I beat them into dust and trampled them into the mud. Psalm 45, let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of my enemies. And Psalm 55, maybe most clear of all, let death take my enemies by surprise. There's no denying we get that. We understand fighting back, destroying, conquering, winning. We understand hating and hurting those who hate and hurt us. And in our current moment, we might be thinking, now that's a sermon. Let's hear it for the Psalms. That's what Jesus should have said. But there's also no denying that it's exactly not what Jesus said. Never are we told to chase and crush. He told us to love and bless and forgive, and not just the easy people. That's hard enough. He said, even the enemies. And for most of us, we probably don't have, I suspect rarely do we have, the kind of enemies Jesus is talking about. The people with power over you. The people who could strike you down and threaten you. No, we generally have the kind of enemies with different opinions about something. Different political affiliation. The person who didn't agree with us, who offended us, lied to us, took advantage of us. The person who did something that embarrassed us or hurt us or a loved one. I don't know if those count as real enemies. I do know it is really hard to love them. I do know it is really hard to pray for them. I know we don't want to. At our best, we often just want nothing to do with them. And that's perfectly reasonable. That makes sense. Everyone would agree with that. In fact, that's exactly what nearly everyone would do. Even the sinners. It's only Jesus that asks more of us than that. Who asks us in His name to take a different path. Who cautions us that the measure we give will be the measure we get. That the way you forgive is how you're forgiven. That the standard of love you use is used for you. And that the grace you show is shown to you. For better or for worse. The world understands hate for hate. Insult for insult. To the vast majority of people, that makes sense. It's only Jesus that expects His followers to go above and beyond. It's only Jesus, the one who did it, that has the right to ask more of us. To unclench the fist, and fold hands in prayer, to bite back the curse and bless instead, to do more and act not like everyone else, but like a follower of Jesus Christ. That, friends, is what Jesus asks of us. Or at least what He asks of anyone willing to try and listen. Amen.